Hi, my name is Anita Foster. I'm the library media specialist from Autry Middle School in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hey y'all, I'm Ingrid Hansen. I'm the library media specialist at Lindley Sixth Grade Academy in Mapleton, Georgia.
Hey everyone, I'm Lori Quintana and I'm the library media specialist at Griffin Middle School in Smyrna, Georgia.
And welcome to Everdue, Conversations from the Library. Library media program. And you know what that does? It's not there to brag me up and make me feel good, because I already feel good. What he's doing there is letting them know that what is about to come out of her mouth
matters.
She means it.
Absolutely.
And when she talks about her program, there's a passion there, but she can back it up with her awards.
I love that you come with a warning label for being somebody who knows what she's saying and can back it up. I like that
it's letting these district people know that school librarians matter. Yes. And our libraries.
Yes.
Matter.
And so
that's what I like.
So I spent the next 5 minutes explaining to them. Well, it probably wasn't 5 minutes. It was probably more like two or three. But I spent the next few minutes explaining to them what we were doing, why we were doing it, and why we needed to do it.
Good.
So we're putting on a crafter this weekend. Please come back. Bring your friends and family. We're all the booth fees, and we'll have a couple of donation areas for people to donate, because all of the funds that's raised there goes to pay for my extra money for my parapro to work more days, because she's only at 60%. Their eyes got really big. What do you mean she's only at 60%?
I said,
you have to tell.
Why is
Santa?
That still a thing? Why does nobody know that? Anyway, sorry.
Five or six years ago, they were all cut to 60%. But elementary's not 60%. They're 100%. No, elementary fought to get theirs back. But we tried
and
to get ours back,
and
it didn't
work.
And so now I'm having to do this to get more funds to pay for her to be 100%. Mm-hmm. Or closer to 100%. Last year, I paid for an extra day every week. And this year, I'm hoping to do even more. And I've even told Mr. Crawford, and I talked to them about us being a technology poor school. And I've told Mr. Crawford that if the county would ever pay for Brenda to be 100%, that I will gladly continue to do the craft fair to raise local funds for initiatives that he wants, like technology.
Absolutely. Again,
and
funding.
Their
creative
eyes
funding.
Got really big again. And, you know, but here's the thing. He set it up to say, here she is, just a warning. She's kind of outspoken, but she knows what she's talking about.
Well, and that what you have to say matters, and that you have the awards and the acknowledgments to support that. And that's important.
But that's what I was just going to say. But you know what I love about this, Anita? You're not saying I need a full-time para because I work too hard.
Exactly.
You're saying I need a full-time para because I want to do these amazing things, and that will help support it.
My students.
Correct. Yes. And Mr. Crawford even told them that, you know, I go into the CCC meetings and I collaborate with teachers. And he says it's really amazing to watch her do that with the teachers and the conversations that goes on when she's there. And I looked at him and I went, I can only do that on Wednesdays because I don't have a parapro on Thursday. So I would really love to have a parapro both.
Yes.
Wednesdays and Thursdays.
I mean, honestly,
yes.
Middle school is killing it. What else could we do with full-time paros?
Exactly.
I can tell you what I couldn't do if I didn't have mine. All of the things. Okay,
all the things.
Struggle.
All
struggle.
The things. So and that's why, going back to what you said too, Anita, it's not bragging. So everything I put out there on Twitter is because I am trying to advocate for our positions as school librarians and the impact that we make, and how, you know what I mean? Like these are the things.
And even if you have something that you're doing, something going on in your space, and you just pop over and you say, hey, if you have, or text them, or email them and say, hey, if you have a few minutes to come in.
Yes.
During this time period, I would really love for you to see what's going on in here.
The power of communication, of being able to say to your admin, hey, this is a lesson I'm teaching. Hey, this is an activity that we're doing. That's so important. Not only
nine
for
times
admin,
out of 10,
just on so many levels.
Nine times out of 10.
I love when my admin's in the library. Right? I'm just going to say
I do too.
I
wish
it.
They were there all the time.
I love it. I'm not intimidated by it at all.
I recently just told McGee, please come by and feel free to observe me at your leisure.
Observe. Come in and be a part of it. Sit down with the kids.
Well,
do the activity.
I have to say that about McGee because she's amazing and interacts with kids every single day.
But what I was going to say, nine times out of 10, the admin don't know what's going on in their space because they don't come in. And
Jeff walks through
all the time. My other administrators come in all the time. Last year, now, honestly, I have been a testing location for the milestone test
for sure
for the last few years. Last year, I was not. And here's why. I went to my administration and I said, I have an idea for something. Can you take my laptops? Because I only have 10 desktops or 9 desktops now. So the rest of mine are all laptops. I said, can you take my laptops and use for testing? But
leave me my space.
Leave me my space. And I said, well, you have the largest space. And I said, yes, but let me explain to you what I want to do. And what I did was I had ELA come through. And I had science come through prior to their testing days. And
I remember this last year.
Spent several days in there doing different activities and rotating through. Some of them was Kahoot. Some of them was using the dry erase boards to solve problems.
You did typing skills, didn't you?
Yes, typing skills with ELA and all kinds. So we had like 8 different rotations going through the space for students to use. And the teachers loved it. But let me tell you this, the administration came through just about every day with some of them, except for the one administrator who was in charge of testing. So two of my administrators
came
through.
Well, that's understandable.
We have to give them kudos. And I'm just saying.
Yes, because that is a hard job I would not want.
It's a hard job.
I can't even imagine. And honestly.
Ours is amazing. Our AP that does the testing. Oh my gosh. Amazing. So,
but they came through and they saw on one of the big touch screens there this game that the science were playing, and they were like wanting to go play it with the kids, and they did. They spent like 10-15 minutes playing the game with the students, trying to figure out how to build this roller coaster type thing.
I think it's so important to have admin there. I'm honestly sitting here trying to remember the last time
an admin should just be a natural thing to me
space at least once during the day. And it has to happen because if they don't see
it should be a natural thing, though.
And I am so blessed to have Bamfield, who is my AP, and McGee. We're getting a new AP. I'm very excited. I don't know who it is yet. But I am so blessed that at least one of them is in my space every single day. Every single day.
So that's my final thing is brag on yourself. Apply for things and let them see how great you really are.
Agreed.
Yes.
All right. Ingrid, you have the final one.
My last one, number 12. Number 12 is to let your program organically grow into what it will be. And I struggled with that. When I switched schools, I thought in my head I had a really firm grasp. It was a similar socioeconomic environment. And I was like, you know what? This is great. I've done this once before. I'm going to come in and these are the things I'm going to do. And I got to this school and realized that every school is different. And one of the things that I've learned over the past semester is that you just have to, most of us are type A. Can I just stop for a minute? To be a librarian on some level, you have to be a little type A. And you do. And
you can be an introvert,
but you have to be a type A. Part of you has to be type A. And I think one of the hardest things for us to do is to just relinquish that control and to let your space organically become what it needs to be for your school. And it's a hard thing to do, but it's such an important piece that if you let it, your program will fill the spaces and the voids that are empty and that it needs to fill. it will do that. But you just, you have to have the faith and you have to let the needs come to you and to realize, wow, so we aren't doing this over here and I can fill that void. I can do this with this program and I can do this with these kids and I can take these kids and do this and to let it grow into what the school needs it to be.
I agree. I just want to give you a little heads up warning. What it may need to be this year, it may be need to be absolutely something else next year.
For sure.
And something else the next year.
Yes.
So that's why you've got to always let it grow.
New students.
And going back to a previous one somebody else said was step out of the box,
yes,
think out of the box, and you've got to allow it to do that.
You have to be open-minded.
Yeah, because if
correct.
Because then that gives everybody the opportunity to feel that joy and that
ownership
and that positive
absolutely
energy. And so because you can tell your admin all day long what you're doing in your space and what's in your binder and what's in your OneNote and everything, but they need to they have to see and feel it, like seeing is believing and feeling kind of thing. And so when you let your program grow like you're talking about, Ingrid, that helps support you with your admin as well.
Well, and I think it garnishes the support of everybody within the building, because when you feel like you impacted
yes
that program, you take ownership of it. So my teachers who come in and say, you know, I would really love it if, and all of a sudden they come back and the following week I'm doing something to make movement towards that goal, or I've implemented that idea. It creates that, not only that buy-in, but that sense of ownership and the desire for that to succeed. And that's so important for our spaces, because we are and should be the hub of every school. And if we don't have that buy-in and that ownership from everybody within the building, our spaces are never going to achieve what they can.
I agree. That was beautifully said.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. School librarians are very poetic too.
True.
With that really?
All right. Well, we will catch y'all on the flip side. Keep listening. We are going to take the break off, the winter break off. So we'll be off for 2 weeks. But we hope that you read a lot of books over Christmas break. And we will be
safe,
happy holiday.
Jolly time.
And I'm gonna leave you with this, because I haven't even told the girls yet, you guys yet, so I'm gonna kind of leave our audience with this idea that we're gonna, our next podcast is not on goal setting, but for the last few years I have tried to do a one word goal for the year.
Oh, one word. Wow, that's tough.
I did that
did
last
you
year.
Really?
So last
wow,
year.
Look at y'all. Mm-hmm. I have not
I
done
remember
that. That's a big task.
I can't
one
tell
word
you. I can't tell you.
I am
yes,
very chatty.
I can't tell you how well I did on it. I didn't keep notes or.
I'm just.
No,
I don't
know
that I'm too chatty for one word. Can it be two words? How do we feel
no
about two?
You can
hyphen.
We'll
okay
let you hyphen.
Maybe I could hyphen.
So, like this past year, mine was on relationships. And everything I did, I try to do something with relationships and building a better relationships at school, building a better relationship with my son and stuff like that. So that was my one word goal for this.
Mine's
year
on Twitter. So if you go to January of last year,
yeah, I'm not scrolling
past year,
right,
2019, you'll find my word.
What was your word?
I don't remember. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
I created
my
it,
God.
And I don't know. I don't even know what it is.
Okay, so we're
going to
hold each other
so
accountable.
Yes, accountability.
But I'm trying
is
to
key
think already what is my one word for this next year. So maybe in our next podcast after the holidays, that's what we're going to talk about is our one
Twitter
word goal.
You, like they need to put like a thing on here you can search.
I agree. Wouldn't that be nice?
For your
yeah
postings and
as
things
opposed
like
to
that. So
through hundreds, yeah.
So next
yeah
time, next time
I don't
we
even
get
know
together
how to get to it.
Next time we get together, our one word goals. I don't believe in
word
resolutions. Okay, well, we might let you. I don't believe
it
in
might
resolutions
be on my phone.
Resolutions get canceled out after a couple weeks.
That's true.
So I try to do just something simple, a one word goal. So y'all think about that. We have gone way over. I know we started late into the recording, but we're over an hour.
Sorry, everyone.
I always feel bad.
We have
we covered, but we covered a lot of stuff.
We talked about a lot of important stuff.
So, you guys have a happy and safe holiday.
Travel safely if you're traveling.
We'll see you in 2020 with 2020 vision. How about that?
Ooh, 2020 vision. That. Yeah, I guess yes, and be thinking of your word.
I'm going to be thinking about that word a
You've
lot.
You've got two weeks.
And no four-letter words. Or inappropriate four-letter words or anything like that.
So. Oh, my gosh. I'm so disappointed. I can't even find my word. But, oh, well. Okay, I'll find it, and then I'll share it with you guys.
Next time we record.
Yes, and then I'll do like a comparison.
Well, there you go.
And tell us what you think.
This
you
was
did.
Last year. This what is this year. So okay, cool.
All right,
it was great, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
See y'all.
Happy holidays.
Hi, welcome. We have an excellent podcast for you tonight. We think it's kind of excellent. So sit back, buckle up. It may be a long one. You never know when we get rambling on. But this topic is one that you will not want to miss. We have bragged and bragged and bragged about our administration, and we love our administration. But we realize that this is not something that happens overnight. So we are going to talk to you about the 12 ways. Get it? It's a holiday kind of theme because it's almost Christmas. But the 12 ways that you as a library and media specialist can work with your principal and get your principal on board for what you're wanting to do in your library program. So I think Lori's going to kick it off for us. Lori, what is one of your things that you can do to get your principal to support you?
Well, I want to say that not just my principal, your entire administrative team. So I have the principal, obviously, like everybody, but I also have 5 APs. So I want to be able to work with each of them. It's important to have those relationships and working relationships with each of them. And so, but to do that, they have to have a better understanding of exactly what it is, what my role is as a library media specialist in my district. So in every district, it's different. But in ours specifically, we have the 10 standards, the school librarian evaluation instrument. And so my suggestion is, if you have this same instrument, is to know the 10 standards and what they entail under each one of them, and to make sure that your principal knows and your APs know what that is as well. Because I can tell you that your administration may, even though they're your leaders, may not have a clear understanding of exactly what a school library media specialist does. And so if you align your 10 standards, well, like with ours, our 10 standards with, you know, sitting down with them in a meeting or whatever it is that you or however it is you communicate with them, and having that conversation with them about exactly what the 10 standards are that you're evaluated on, so they know exactly what you do in your library. I think it's important for them to know what you do in your library.
Now, I agree with you there, Lori, because SLEI, School Librarian
Evaluation Instrument,
was created in part by our supervisor, mm-hmm. and I love it. It has spread out through the state of Georgia.
So much better than what we had before. It's not even funny.
Yes. If you don't know what it is, all you had to do is Google SLEI or School Library Evaluation Instrument, and it will probably take you to the Cobb County page for it. But I do know that glma.org, I believe it is, has some information on there as well for SLEI. So all the information, if you're from a different state or a district that's not using SLEI, the information is out there, and it is wonderful. Now, one thing that I did, and I have talked about this previously in the past, is I created, and I think I even did a YouTube video on our Overdue YouTube channel, showing people what I did was I created a OneNote notebook for my SLEI, and then I have documentation in there for how I'm meeting those standards. So I also gave access to that OneNote to my principal so that he has that as well. He can go in at any time and look at it.
Well, and I think that that's important to point out, being that we're all moving towards being Microsoft Innovative Educators. And that's something that Cobb County has really supported and encouraged everyone within the district to do, using a OneNote just makes sense. And it conforms. And
if you're a Google school, you can, I'm sure they have something equivalent to it.
Yes,
but,
yeah, through Google Docs, I'm sure.
Correct. But if you don't have an SLEI in your district, get with your library media program director or something like that and find out exactly what it is that your evaluation entails as a school librarian, because it really helps define who you are and how you create your programs and stuff as well. So you have to understand, you have to have a good understanding of who you are, and then share that with your administration so everybody is on the same page. But that's my first one.
I agree. I like it. All right. So I think I'm next, and this is Anita. And one of the things that I feel is very important is open communication. Mr. Crawford is wonderful, probably one of the best principals I've ever worked for. And like Lori said, our whole administration team is phenomenal. We have two APs and Mr. Crawford, and I can go to each and every one of them if I needed something. All three of them, hey, we had the craft fair this past weekend. All three of them were there all day with me. So I couldn't brag on them enough. But
that starts with the open communication.
That begins with open communication. And so building relationships with them, but open communication, I can go to them anytime for anything and
But how did you start that, Anita? How did you start the open communication with them to get there?
With Mr. Crawford, it started probably day one. He and I just hit it off really well. And he comes to me with ideas and problems, and I try to give him solutions, and I go to him with ideas and thoughts, and hey, this is crazy. What do you think?
But
and
see,
I think the
confidence has to be there. The confidence has to be there.
I think not correct, only the confidence, but it has to be a level of trust. You have to have trust in your administrator, and your administrator needs to have trust in you. And I don't know.
That doesn't happen overnight, though.
For those media specialists who are out there and they're not experiencing that open communication, I think that it starts with trust. And that sometimes has to come from us as a starting point.
A blind trust. That's right.
Absolutely.
Mr. Crawford and I, our relationship was a little different because I was his TIS technology integration specialist, and our positions were being cut. So I already had a somewhat of a relationship with him. It wasn't like a principal librarian or even a principal teacher. I saw him, once or twice a month when I'd go to the school and do professional learning and things like that. But where he gained my trust right away was when he didn't fight for me physically and like, no, you can't lose her job. But he went, and the story is hilarious how he talks about that they put at KSU, Kennesaw State University, that all the principals were there, and they had all the names of the people and their qualifications up on one wall, and they had all the schools and their positions that they needed filled. And he says as soon as the person in charge said go, he ran and got my name and ran and got the position. He says, I'd not care about any other position but that one at the school at that moment. And he says, I ran, got your name so nobody else could take it. And I ran and got my position and took it to the HR person and said, make this happen. And that's how I got my job.
Okay. But that's how you started trusting him. How does a media specialist get their principal to trust them? How do you establish that trust with them? For me, there's two sides. There's the positive and then there's the negative side. The positive side is taking something that you want to do in your library and doing it and sharing the success of it and everything. And, or there's the other side where there's the person that constantly goes and complains, well, I want this, or this isn't happening, and this is that. So like, talk about that a little bit.
I don't complain to him much because I'm always the type of person that if it's not working, then I try and find a solution for it.
And that's important.
I think that I came from 20 years in the business world. I was a pharmaceutical rep, and then I owned insurance agencies. And at no point have I ever gone to a principal with a problem that I didn't offer at least three solutions for.
Yes. It's so important.
The other thing is consistency and doing a good job at what I do.
Yeah.
So he rarely walks in and finds me not doing what
engaged
I'm supposed
in
to be
something.
Doing.
Well, yes.
And I think that speaks to my thought on that, which is part of the way that I am hoping I am establishing that trust, and how I certainly established it in my previous school, was doing what I committed to doing. You asked me to do A, then A is going to happen. You asked me to do B.
Right. And well.
You know, just tell me what you're looking for in a tree. Like, I'm going to make that happen. You tell me what you need from me, and I will achieve that. And I think consistently delivering what you are asked of starts
having
to
the initiative.
Absolutely.
Which I think leads really well into your first one, Ingrid. What is your first one?
My first one would be one of the things that I am grateful for, and one of the things that I think helps to build a good relationship with admin, is a clear definition of the expectations. So, for example, when I made the jump to Lindley's sixth grade academy, Dr. McGee was really clear, you know, and I am hiring you to create a culture of reading and to create a literacy program for my school. And knowing that that was the expectation made my job significantly easier this year. I knew what I had to do and what steps I had to take to achieve that goal. And I knew what she was looking for, as opposed to going in when you're at a school or you have an admin and you haven't sat down and talked about what they feel like your role is within that building or within that culture, and you're just blindly doing what you do every day without that input.
Yeah,
you
can't hide in your library.
No, you can't. And you need to have a clear understanding of what admin expects from you and what role you're going to play in helping them to achieve the goals they are moving towards.
I think that's fabulous. I so agree, Ingrid. And so one of the first things I do during pre-planning is I set time aside with my principal and ask what her expectations or his expectations are for that school year. What goals do you want to see me meet with the library, and how is that aligning with your goals school-wide?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was about to say that too. It's not something just for a new librarian new to the school.
No.
It's something that the librarian and the principal need to sit down and talk about at least once a year.
I did it every year.
And have ideas
Absolutely.
For some goals too. You know, it's a two-way conversation, and that's where you find out, okay, where do we meet in the middle? So we both get some, you know,
well,
it's a win-win.
I think it's also listening. I remember when Cobb came out and the big focus was reading countywide, and that's what we were focused on. And I remember coming to Tanner and saying, so I've been thinking about how I can support this above and beyond what I'm already doing. And my answer was to do bigger ticket reading promotions that lasted longer, but were for bigger items that I thought my kids wanted but couldn't afford. But the point of that, or what I'm trying to say, is that you have to be intuitive to a certain degree. You have to be listening, and you have to be aware of what the county expectation is and what your principal is going to be focused on, and how can you go in and positively impact that?
Yes,
I agree.
How does the library, how does the library fit into that? What does your role fit into that?
Exactly.
So yes, exactly. So yes, that don't hide in your library.
No,
you can't.
You can't do that.
And part of this too, and we've talked about doing a whole podcast on this next thing that I'm about to say, but we can't expect for people to see a change in librarians and the roles of librarians immediately, because statistically, over hundreds of years, the role of the librarian was the bookkeeper, the bookkeeper,
absolutely,
the book charmer, the keeper of all knowledge. And only over the last, I'm going to say 10 years, because I've seen this shift since I've been at Autry. Over the last 10 years, it has gone more from a teacher from a librarian, the book hoarder, to a teacher librarian and a collaborator and someone who is working with teachers and co-teaching and building lessons and units and things like that. It's not just the resource gatherer and the bookkeeper.
Exactly.
And keeper books. And staying behind your circulation desk, because then the only thing that's missing is a gavel. Then you need to change careers.
Yeah. So, so we can't expect people to see that change if we're not showing them that change.
If we're not part of the change, right?
So
you're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem.
So I agree. All right. So Lori, what's your next one?
Well, I think I'm going to skip over my next one and go to the next one, because I think one of the things that will help you into helping make those changes and those transitions for our profession and being looked at more of as a leader from the library. That's one of my biggest advocacy pieces it's in my heart. But to do that is to participate in professional development. And so I talk about this, sometimes our PD, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes our PD is divided up in like, this is for teachers and this is for this person and this, you know, group and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I really try to take the initiative to learn it all, because to be a leader from the library, right, we are servicing everybody anyway in the building. And so the more you have a better understanding of the needs of your peers and our students and everything, the more better you can support those things and step out and get into those leadership roles. And so participating in the professional development and having a really good understanding of what the teachers are doing in their roles too, and the kind of learning that we're trying to support for the students, and being a part of that so that you can also do those collaborative lessons like you were talking about, Anita, having that information so you can provide them with value, right?
I agree.
And so participate in the professional development, but step out of your comfort zone too. I'm talking about going to conferences, and when you go to conferences, really hone in on the sessions that are going to speak to you and what your goals are in your library, and take notes and take it back and think of at least one way you can use that new information in a activity or program in your library or school wide. I try to expand it and try to step out of the library even and see how I can like make that a school wide effort as well. Present at conferences. My former principal, Mr. Gillihan, he always supported me going to conferences, and I so appreciate that. And it really helps build that I continue that excitement about my job. But then he said to me one day, you need to start presenting. And I was like, what do you mean me present? I don't look at myself as a presenter at a conference, but we need to start doing that, because as leaders, we can do that, and we can, and we have things to share with people. And that's how we also advocate for our positions, by going out there and standing up in front of people and sharing exactly what our knowledge is and how we impacted something at our school or in our district-wide, whatever it is, it looks like for you. So, and I just want to throw this out there. I just got notification today that a proposal that I wrote with one of my APs and one of my ELA peers on our Griffin Reads 30 program, which is school-wide independent reading program. We're presenting on that at the Georgia Children's Book Awards Conference next March in Athens.
Congratulations.
And so, I'm so excited. So I just want to inspire everybody out there. Step out of your shell and don't hide in your library, and find ways where you can learn something new that you can bring to the table for everybody.
Agreed.
That is awesome. I agree. All right. So my next one is, and this is one, okay, guys, I'm kind of outspoken a little
No.
I know. Shocker.
Really?
Okay. So
I appreciate that. I'm just saying.
I do too. It's one of the things I like most about Anita.
Yes. When I went to Autry, the media specialist that was leaving, she said, I'm going to my next school like you. And I said, what do you mean? And she says, I'm just going to ask for and shoot for the moon, and all they can say is no. And that's how I've always done things. I just, I'll ask for it. If you say no, okay, let's come back to it in a couple months. Maybe you'll change your mind once you see the wisdom of my ways.
Yes. Yes. Because I'm going to charm you with my ways, right?
Yes. Exactly. You're going to change their mind. It's a beautiful thing.
Also, you can't refuse.
So one of the things that I asked for when I came to Autry was, I said, love my administration, love my APs. Although my APs have changed over the years. So we've had the same ones, the same whole administration for the last 3 or 4 years. Cobb County, please don't change them, because we love them. But one of the things that I asked for when I came to Autry was, Mr. Crawford, I have the largest budget in the school besides you. I don't need to go to an AP to get approval to go to you. I want you to always do my observations and my assessments. And he looked at me and he went, you know, before it's always been rotated around, but I totally agree with what you're saying. So for the last 10 years, Mr. Crawford has been my observer and my administrator that I go to for any problems.
Wow. So, imagine the growth he's seen in 10 years.
For sure.
So one of the things, if you feel comfortable asking your administration, your principal, is say, you know what? I would really like for, I know you're busy, but I would really like for you to be my administrator, and let's not rotate it. Let's just keep it as you.
And you know what, though? I just want to jump in and say that was one of the things that I requested from Dr. McGee that she agreed to when I made the jump, is that I wanted her to be my observing supervisor. They have to observe a certain percentage of teachers anyway. So it's not like you're asking them to do something that they're not already planning or haven't already built in to their schedule and their calendar to do. So I agree with you. I think it's important to ask that. And I think it's important because it goes back to that issue of trust and communication and so many of the other things that we've been talking about tonight. Having that relationship and building that relationship is having that one-on-one contact with your principal and not having to filter it through someone else.
I agree.
Well, and they get a clearer picture of everything that you do.
Exactly.
And what we do as in our professions.
And quite honestly, I mean, when Holly was doing some changes with the SLEI and everything like that, she knew to come to Jeff and I as one of the pilots because she knew he was my observer.
Right.
And so, and because we have such a good relationship, she was like, hey, can you talk to Jeff about doing this? And I'm like, absolutely. So Jeff was one of the pilots for it. And he's one of the, you know, cheerleaders for it too, because he really likes this instrument that we're now using. So,
well, you know, and then the other thing to look at as well is that when our principals go out into the district in or wherever it is they go for their meetings and things like that, or even their professional development, they can consider where we fit into what they're learning and what they, the goals that they're being tasked with as well. Right. So
right.
If they know your role and understand your role and you have that open communication and they're evaluating you, they can know exactly where your strong suits are. So they know exactly where to put you in the leadership part of what they're trying to implement.
Absolutely. And that goes back to talking about clear definition of expectations as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's all so interrelated. All of the things that we're saying really just build on top. They're building blocks.
And plus they can be advocates for us with other principals, their peers, right?
That's what I was going to say, is because he has observed me. I remember having to put the portfolio book together and having to print out hundreds of pieces of paper to show evidence of me meeting, you know, the standards that we had at the time and everything.
Anita, I can only imagine your binder was, how much did it weigh? Was it a boulder?
Did you need a cart to take it from the media center into
No,
office?
I did not.
Yes.
It was like an inch and a half thick, but yeah. And at one point I said, can't I just do this all online and share it with you? And then hello, a couple years later, we had Office 365. But yeah, he has seen the growth but because of this and because of him digging into my standards and now being able to recognize when I do things, he also recognizes the language when he is at meetings with other administrators.
And that's so important.
And he can talk about it with other administrators when people, you know, say something about their librarian not doing, you know, things, he'll come and he'll say, I realize I have it good, but you know, some people don't realize what all people in your position can do.
Okay, but I want to say though, while we're also implementing the transition and change for our profession as school librarians, our administration has to kind of flow with us on that, right? And
correct.
So they have to also make change.
So
right?
I want to jump in and talk about my next thing.
Okay.
Which fits really nicely, nice segue, Lori, into
yes.
the fact that, excuse me, both you and your principal need to be open-minded and to be able to listen to each other. For me to be able to walk into my principal's office and be like, hey, listen, so I had this idea. And, you know, I want to look at data and I want to look at how I am positively impacting test scores and or whatever that may look like, being able to look outside.
Well, you're kind of doing that right now with data.
Yeah, absolutely. MLT tasked me with that. Holly actually came to it
Lindley Six and asked that of McGee. But she was open to it. And I think there's just so much value in being able to think outside the box and being able to step out from what you've done every day, day after day, and look at it differently. Yes. And having an admin team that supports you being able to take that risk. And not everything I've ever come up with has been fabulous. I've had a ton of failures, but I've also had successes, but you don't get any of those if you aren't open-minded enough on both ends of that spectrum as a library media specialist and as an admin to consider what we could be doing differently.
I agree. Yeah.
Right. So like the whole open-mindedness and the new ideas and everything is try new things and not be afraid to fail.
Exactly.
Okay, let me say this. If you are not stepping out of the box and you're not thinking outside of the box and you're not doing things outside of the box, then you're one of the older librarians, and I don't mean age-wise, that is just taking care of the books and the space. You're not collaborating with your teachers. You're not co-teaching with your teachers. You're not going in and sitting in on their collaboration meetings. You're not doing things to benefit everybody, and that's what needs to change. That's the change that's been happening over the last 10 years that I was talking about earlier. And if you're not doing that, then you really should consider doing that.
You just need to have the courage to realize that it's okay to fail. It's okay to come up with an idea or a plan and implement it and be like, wow, that didn't go as well as I had hoped. So mental note to self, let's not do that again. And then pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and try again. You have to be willing to take that risk. And you have to have the trust from your admin to be able to implement it.
My whole reading promotion this year has been horrible. My whole reading promotion.
I doubt that.
It is Ready, Set, Read. I put a lot of thought into it. It has things you can do. Interactive-wise, nobody's doing it. Very few people. Teachers are doing it, but teachers are doing a little different thing because I do give prizes to my teachers. But the kids aren't wanting to participate in it. So you know what? Mr. Crawford and I had a conversation yesterday about scrapping it and starting over with something new in January.
I love that everybody was willing to take the risk and to try and to be open-minded enough to realize that you're not going to have great success without failure. It's just not possible.
Correct. I mean, this kind of ties in a little bit, but I don't know if you guys noticed on Twitter the other day how there was a study that came out by the New York State Library and how research confirms the value of school librarians. And so I just want to throw this out there. It's a great little piece to read, and there is an executive summary you can look at as well. And it talks about all of the ways that librarians are valuable. It's the roles of the school librarian, empowering student learning and success and everything. And so just one of the quotes on there, the school librarian's contributions, whether direct or indirect, are consistently shown to be of positive value to not only students and teachers, but the wider school community. And so that just kind of speaks to the whole open-mindedness and the new ideas and being out there and evolving as a profession.
I just have two words to say. Yes. Heck yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love it.
That is.
Love it.
Lori, let me ask you, because this isn't going to be broadcasted for a couple, not this week, but next week. So can you possibly put that on our Twitter page?
Sure. The study?
Link the article.
Okay. Sure. Absolutely will. Yes, thank you. Absolutely. It's great.
All right.
So.
Whose turn is it now?
So I went. Who's next?
It's Lori's turn.
Well, I kind of still want to keep feeding off of Ingrid for a minute, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So something, you know how I've also noticed on Twitter that a lot of school librarians are talking about the potty PD, and there were two other librarians that showed,
that showed
how they've done that. One is doing the potty PD, but then there was another school librarian. I can't think of her name right now, but she's awesome. I think she's up in Chicago somewhere, in Illinois. But she calls hers the toilet papers. And so I thought that was very cute. And I was like, well, I want to get on board with that. And so
Mr. Crawford wants me to do it.
Mine's called toilet trees. And I have these individual trees on the paper, and inside of the trees, this month it's Christmas trees, is different things that I'm doing in the library and to advocate for the library, because again, nobody knows if you're not sharing what you're doing in your library. True. And so there's little pieces. I put this article in there so that they can scan the QR code and read it in the potty if they want to, or read it later. But also I talk about like helpful hints from the library. Did you know this is how you do this? Did you know that our students can do this? This is what's going on. I put our Candyland thing on there and stuff. So just, you know, the open idea, the new ideas and stuff. I just wanted to throw that out there too, as a advocacy piece, as a school librarian, for you to, a way for you to let everybody know what's going on and what you're doing and how you're contributing.
So Mr. Crawford wants me to do that as well. I just need to come up with a name because I don't like potty PD.
I think that's super.
I do like toilet trees. I like the idea of using the trees. So I may have to steal that. But I'm doing it for the whole school and not just for the library. So we're going to incorporate other aspects of, like, I'm going to reach out to our TTIS and see if she wants to do a little thing on it. But I do like your idea of QR code. Here's a little snippet about it. If you want to read more, scan here.
Yes. Yes, mine's full of QR codes. You mean, because there's really no other way to do it. You can't put an active link on a piece of paper for people. You know what I mean?
It's correct. True. That's so, a little challenging.
It's a little challenging. So, so then this kind of leads into my next one. And so I recently finished up. I was invited to participate in ISTE University for ISTE Libs, which is the Future Ready Librarian Framework. And so that was very interesting. I think in my feedback, I put it rocked my boat a little bit, because sometimes, I mean, me personally, I'm going along and I think, oh, I'm doing great. This is, you know, my admin's supportive. There's kids in my library all day long. You know, I things are going well. But then you start to think of, okay, well, how are you creating your library program? What kind of framework are you using to do that? What are you aligning it with? If somebody were to come up and ask you, well, how does this activity that you're, a program that you're doing in your library, how does that impact student learning? How does that align with the standard? How this or whatever it is. And so you kind of, it made me stop and think, you know, I'm just going along every day and I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to try this. And that's awesome. Cause we just talked about the open mind and the new ideas, but this really helped with like being able to frame all of that stuff into something. And so the Future Ready Librarian framework, it has the 8 wedges in there that really speak to all of the components we do. And so it's kind of like our SLEI evaluation we talked about and all of the different ways we're evaluated. But this is about all of the ways that we're empowering leadership for school librarians. And that's what it says on their framework, empowering leadership for school librarians through innovative professional practice. And so there's a wedge for curriculum and instruction and assessment, personalized professional learning. And that's where you're doing the professional learning. I don't know, Anita and Ingrid, how much professional learning you do for your staff. I know, Anita, you did something huge recently. Yes. There's the robust infrastructure. So what's our role in making sure our kids all have, you know, network services and all of that to be able to do the technology, budget and resources, community partnerships. That was a huge one for me because I write a lot of grants and I receive them, but I don't really look local, like in our local community, and building those partnerships where our community actually knows exactly how important school libraries are in the community, within the schools. There's data and privacy, student data and privacy. There's the collaborative leadership, which is, I think, the biggest wedge that's talked about in our profession right now. Like, I'll be honest with you, I feel like we're beating it like too much a little bit, and we're missing out on all these other wedges that we can share with people. And the use of time and space. And I think this is a big one, because I know when I first got to my library, if you're new to your library, Ingrid, you can speak to this because you were new this year. You walked in and said, oh my gosh, what can I do with this space in here? And so the use of space and time, you sit there and you figure out and you map out, okay, I can do this in this space and I can do this in this space. But I completely revamped my library when I got there. But it took a while to do that. So I want people to understand this isn't something that happens overnight.
No, it cannot happen overnight.
Oh no, and I can speak to yes. The fact that recently I've just been, gosh, just so beat down by the fact that none of the things that I want to happen are happening, and everything is just so slow, And it took a colleague of mine, another teacher, I was just feeling sad. And she's like, holy crap, you've been here since August. You just need to stop. Right? Like, why are we upset? This is but amazing. But it's
because we care so much. When you love your job as a school librarian, like that passion is there. And you have that vision and you just want to make it happen. And then you see your kids, you know, and you want them to have everything they need. Exactly. And you know, yeah, so and so just to speak on that really quick, Ingrid, all of these eight wedges circle around it's learner centered.
Yes.
And so that's what we do. Everything we do is learner centered with this framework. So go ahead.
Well, no. And I just wanted to say that I was so blessed. I actually when I realized I wanted to go to school to be a library media specialist and get my master's, it dawned on me like the first semester in that I hadn't really worked in a public school. I had really only volunteered. And so I went and applied for media paras and ended up at Milford Elementary under Michelle Pierce. And my library media specialist was Linda Johns. And one of the most important things that I took away from my time with her, I spent the 2 years I got my degree working as her para. And one of them was that everything that happens in the media center has to be tied to a standard. And if it isn't, we don't do it. And that was really profound for me because I think it really drove home the fact that at the end of the day, besides all of the fun activities and the cool books and the reading promotions and the things that we're doing, our focus has to be growth and learning. And if we are not ending our day realizing that we are helping to move students forward and we are positively impacting their learning, then we're not doing our job.
Yes. No, and that's great. And you're correct. So I just wanted to throw out there sometimes as a guidance, I guess, take a look at this Future Ready Librarian framework. And there's actually a graphic. You can print it off. It's very colorful. It's a colorful wheel. But next time you sit down and you're thinking, oh, this is what I'd like to do in my program, look at where it falls under that wedge and how it helps you to align it with an actual framework that you can Absolutely. Share with your principal. And you're standard. Not just going in there, you know, now, right?
Whether it's a Georgia state standard, whether there are so many standards. There are, what, three standard sets that we can choose from? It doesn't necessarily have to fall within one, but it has to fall within one of them.
Right. Now, and so that gives us the credibility that we're looking for. Well, this is what it aligns with. There's actually a framework exactly. for this that's built up. You know what I mean? And so I'm just going to do this quote really quick, and then Anita, you can take over with yours. So they say Future Ready librarians, through their professional practice programs and spaces, school librarians lead, they teach, and support their school or district's Future Ready schools goals. So there you go.
Okay, so
think along those lines.
I just want to say this real quick. So superintendents across the country were given the opportunity to sign a Future Ready Schools Pact or something like that and help move their districts to Future Ready. Our superintendent decided not to sign this pact or agreement or what have you.
And I'm not familiar with that at all.
I'm not saying that was a good thing. I'm not saying that was a bad thing. I'm just giving the information. But one thing that I was very blessed with was about 2 years ago, Holly asked me, our supervisor asked me to go to KSU was having a Future Ready schools thing. But part of it was Future Ready Libraries. And so for 2 days, I went and it wasn't really a training, but it was just an exposure to.
Like an introduction to it.
Correct. And I was very blessed to be able to go to that and learn about that. And I liked a lot of what they were saying. We are not a Future Ready district. So I'm just putting that out there. Some of you in other parts of the state and other parts of the country may be a Future Ready district. One thing I do suggest is that you go and look at their website and go to the Future Ready Library section of that website.
Well, it's not a religion, so let's just put that out there. it's not like taboo or anything like that for some people to practice or something like that.
No,
but it's definitely an excellent guide. I don't think that your district has to be a Future Ready school to use this as a resource.
No, they do not. I was just letting people know in Cobb County that we are not one. But I do highly, highly, highly recommend going to the website, especially librarians, and checking out the Future Ready Librarians, a section of it.
And we have there's a lot of very well-known school librarians across the nation that are part of this, the Future Ready Libs, and it's at ISTE Lib if you want to follow them on Twitter as well. So,
yes,
they're great. They're paving the pathway for us, guys. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
I like it. So, all right. So my next thing is something that I have talked about briefly on here before, but if you're wanting to get your principal to support you, I feel that you need to support them.
Correct.
So one of the things that I do, and I realized it this summer that I've always supported Mr. Crawford, and he'll come to me and ask me to do things. And of course, whatever you need type thing.
Anita, we need you to jump.
And how high?
How high?
Thank you.
and then I'll ask how high, and then I'll go, are you sure you want me to do that? Sometimes, but no, one of the things that I thought about this summer when I was going through my specialist degree classes was, I never asked him. We've always been told to ask teachers to get teachers to collaborate with us. Well, what do you need done that I can take off your plate? How many times have you heard that? What can I do to take something off your plate? But I had never asked Mr. Crawford that. And so this summer I went to him and we had a little conversation. And in that conversation, I said, what can I do to take something off your plate? What can I do to help you? And he was taken aback for a minute because he's like, what? And I went, yes. What can I do to help you? What can I do so that you don't have to do it? And I feel that sometimes as library media specialists, we do that to our teachers, but we need to do it to our administration too.
How are you ever going to gain leadership skills and see it from a perspective of a school-wide initiative if you're not actively engaged with what your principal's doing?
Correct.
I don't, you know what I mean? So
for sure. How do you expect to create that level of trust, to create that level of leadership, if your goals are not falling in line with what your administration is tasked with? It can't happen. You must fall in line. I mean, there's no other way around it, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be that way.
You know, I'll tell you guys, I've had peers say to me, or, you know, they'll say, oh, well, get with Lori. She's leading that, or Lori's, you know, taking on the responsibility of that. And they've said, of course she is. Of course she is.
And, thank you, know, you at very first much. Yes, I am. I appreciate you acknowledging that.
You know,
that's right.
It hurt my feelings at first, but I'm like, no. This is a learning opportunity for me to gain that experience that I so need as a new educator. But I enjoy it. When I ask my principals, what can I help you with? It's because I have a true passion. I want to know. I want to learn. I want to lead. I want to be a part of that. How can I problem solve with you? I love that part of it. What can we do for our kids? How can we make this great for them? I don't know. I'm a geek.
I'm right there with you.
Embrace your nerdiness. I am right
yes.
there.
So,
the only thing that I will never, ever, 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 ever agree to again is serving ISS on field day with 50 students in the theater. Done. Never again.
You know what,
did that once. Check. It's off the list.
If you hadn't agreed to it, you wouldn't have that to use an argument.
Yes.
Or disagreement.
That is so true.
So there's something to be said for that.
That is so true. And we actually texted today and I said, what you have me doing now is almost as bad as that, but this is over in 30 minutes. So I knew there was a definite end to this today, but yeah, do it. And
how will you ever
them.
Be able to make suggestions for improvement if you weren't part of the experience, you know?
Exactly.
So.
For sure.
All right. So that's
that, Anita. I love supporting our principals. I do. I love it. But anyway, go ahead.
we have got to support them because we want them to support us. And I kind of think of it as a,
yes, you know, because if they're successful, then we're successful, right? It just goes both ways. When we
out, he's gonna want to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so, at the end absolutely, of the day, the people that we're truly helping are our students, and that has yes, to stay as our
common
focus,
goal.
Absolutely.
All right, Ingrid, you're next.
One team, one goal, student success.
Amen. All right, so I wanted to talk a little bit about funding. I think that one of the things that is really important for good, strong media programs is funding. And some of that comes from your admin, them allowing you to purchase and do what you want with your state funds and then to encumber them and not using those funds for other things. But some of that has to come from us as well. And how are we contributing to the funds that we are using? And what else are we bringing to the table? And certainly a lot of us do book fairs, and that's important. And it's certainly
some of us do craft fairs.
That's right.
But as Lori was talking about, there are also grants out there. And I can say that I haven't won a lot of grants. I probably only secured, I'm thinking now off the top of my head, 3. And I only really got interested in grants about 2 years ago. So I will say that I am a much stronger proponent than I was previously. They always seemed really overwhelming to me and very intimidating, but they're really not. And I recently have been going to librarygrants.blogspot.com. And it offers a tremendous amount of library grants that are out there with deadlines that are coming up in 2020. So there's still time to apply. I also just recently read Winning Grants, second edition, How to Do It Manual for Librarians. And I purchased that through Amazon. I highly recommend that as well. There's money out there for us, y'all. We just have to find it.
Yes. Look at our professional organizations.
Absolutely.
Your community.
ALA
that's part of that
so
community.
Many.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to get on my little soapbox.
Uh-oh.
I'm not good at writing grants.
You know what, Anita, I said that too. I said, I can't write a grant. But all of a sudden, I woke up and realized that there was not a school news program at my school and that it was falling on me. And unless I found money, it was going to end up being my local funds that provided a school news program. And I'm like, you know what, that can't happen. I need that money.
So is this at your current school?
No, that was at Campbell Middle. And nobody said that to me. This was my jump. Nobody at any point said, well, we're going to take your money or we're going to do this. This was just my knowledge of supporting my principal and realizing that he really wanted to have a school news program. And that in most cases, it was housed in the library. And I didn't want to have to spend my local funds to do that. But I knew that I needed to support him and make sure that his vision of having a school news team was a reality. And the first grant I applied to was the Georgia Department of Education Audio and Technology Grant. Audio, visual, I can't think of the whole full name of it. I'd have to look it up. I apologize. And I was really intimidated, but I called. And I would encourage everyone to call. I called and I was like, listen, I'm filling out this application and I have some questions and I don't understand.
But you know what, Ingrid, they encourage that. The people offering the grant love for you to ask the questions. They love it.
I also know that Cobb County, I also know that Cobb County has a grant writing department that will proof all of your grants before you send them off, I believe.
They will. And I was blessed to have somebody I had, she's now an SLI at Campbell Middle who proofread my grant before I shipped it off. But I will say that that is available if you don't feel comfortable enough to do it on your own and you want that proofreading. But I would also put out there that, you know, you've probably got an admin team that's excited that you're trying to pursue funds from other locations and would be more than happy to do it.
Okay, but so here's where I'm going to step on my soapbox. Are you ready? Because this is against us, the three of us. We have a website that we have not been updating, and I realize that we have not, and I apologize for that. But this is some stuff that would be really good on our website, all of these grants and how to write a grant and stuff like that. So maybe that's something that we as a team can work on.
Maybe over the holidays.
Maybe over the holidays.
But I'm just going to tell you this too, Anita. So I worked with a teacher, Mr. White. He was a science teacher, but then he's moved into a technology position at Daniel Middle School. But while he was at Griffin, he was the grant writer of the school. He wrote the grants and he always got the grants. Okay. He was great at it. Well, let me tell you, I was like, I want to be that good at it. So I paid attention to what he was doing. I paid attention to how he was writing the grants, what he was including. Because I knew, and this is where that leadership comes in, like you were talking about too, Anita, and stepping up and finding out what you can do for your principal. I knew that when he was leaving, that Paul was going to need somebody else that could write grants. And so I wanted to learn. I wrote a couple. I did not get them, but I learned from what I wrote before and changed it up. And I looked at examples and compared it to what I did. And so now, I mean, after you get your first one,
once you get your first one under your belt, it's so much easier.
Yes, it is. And you just kind of stick with that formula.
I would say, Lori, too, that one of the things that has served me really well, and again, I'm only three grants in, but is pictures of student support, of visual support of what I'm asking for and why has been really beneficial for me.
Exactly, because I think a lot of people, when they write a grant, they just say, I need the money. I want the money.
Exactly.
But you've got to give them, tug at their heartstrings. Yeah. Yes, it has to be personal. And not begging personal. Don't beg. They want to see in their mind
exactly
what you're trying to produce if they give you the money.
And why do you need it? Yeah. What do you have now and what are you trying to improve?
Yes. But not everybody can win the grant. Okay. So
exactly.
People can't get down on themselves if they don't get selected, because you got to think there's lots and lots of people applying for the same grant as you.
But Lori, as I tell my babies every single day about my reading promotions, you can't win if you don't play.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, that's great. The funding. So for one of our 12 ways is to step in there and look at some different fundings, right, Ingrid? To demonstrate to your admin
and that you're willing to go that extra mile and to find money to support your program and the overarching goals of the school, and that you're doing what you can within your space to achieve that.
Okay. Which is kind of like a segue into my next one, which is stepping up, and we've really kind of already talked about this already, stepping up and volunteering to be on and take on some of the leadership roles in your school, like me stepping up to write grants when somebody else is moved to another position. So somebody's got to fulfill that role. What roles can you fulfill in your school? Take a look around school wide and see where there's a need in your school and they need somebody to step in and take on that role and facilitate it. It's a great time for you as a school librarian to be seen as a leader, but it also gives you the practice of doing analysis. Okay, so this is how this person did it this way. Does that still meet the needs of our school now? How will I change it? What will I keep the same? And who am I going to pull in with me to lead with me, right? Because you can't do everything by yourself. So at some point, have to learn to be somebody who inspires others to work with you to succeed and to fulfill that goal. And so look for those opportunities. I know, Ingrid, we talked a little bit earlier about if you have a guiding coalition in your school, ask if you can be on that guiding coalition. I saw the need and I heard the need in our school strategic plan. Pay attention to that. Read your school strategic plan. What is your principles?
Writing your school strategic plan. They're always
that as well. Yes. And so look at what those needs are and how can you as a school librarian step in and be a part of meeting those goals and stuff. So I stepped in and I created our family literacy night. And so now I'm the facilitator of that each school year. And just recently, our PBIS team was looking for people to be on the committee. And for a long time, I kind of like stepped away from that because I thought I'm not an expert on that. That's not where my expertise is as a school librarian. But why isn't it? I mean, I see what do we talk about all the time? I see all 1,500 kids, right? So I am part of supporting our PBIS because I see those kids. I develop those relationships. I have those conversations.
From a different standpoint. And I'm not saying, I'm not diminishing classroom teachers at all. I mean, they're phenomenal and obviously they're amazing. But at the end of the day, we come from that particular point where we interact with all of these students. We don't just have five classrooms, that we mm-hmm. have these kids and we see these children and somebody else comes through and I may not necessarily know who that child is because I don't teach them. From a librarian standpoint, all of those children come through our spaces, every single one of them at some point in their middle school career or their school career, they will be there. And how are we positively impacting them?
I agree. They're all of our kids.
Yes.
Right. So now I'm on the committee. I'm on the PBIS committee and I'm the data analyzer, I guess you could say. So I analyze our data. I present at our PBIS committee meetings, all of the data and everything like that. That was another learning point for me. But, you know, I take that and I look at it like, okay, how can I use that in my own library as well as school wide with our kids and everything like that? So when you're looking at the different behavioral problems and stuff like that, what activities can I create in the library even to support the social emotional, you know, what books can I get that deal with these things that maybe the background to some of the behavioral problems our students have.
You know what, Lori, so I want to jump in and I want to say for a moment how much I love that a librarian is the data person in a committee. We really need to be pushing ourselves into those types of roles more and more. And I love that you have taken the initiative to be somebody that is analyzing that data, because I think as librarians, a lot of times we shy away from data. We feel limited in the data that we have. And so we're not mm-hmm. always comfortable with it. And I love that from that
girl,
standpoint,
you should have seen me trying to calculate percent changes.
Right? Yeah, it's not as easy
we
as it
can
looks.
Do it. School librarians can, do, can that. Do it. They can do that. You don't have to be a math
you
teacher.
Don't. And
or married to one.
Or married
right?
to one. God bless
those that don't know, yes. Ingrid is married to one.
And he does all of my math. I just got my recent RI scores from my enrichment group and I came home and I'm like, here's all my stuff. Help me figure this out. Help me make this into something I understand. So
I love that.
He is fabulous. But you know what? That's what we do as librarians. We know who to draw upon, who to ask questions of, who to go to for support. That's what we do.
That's right. All right. Are you ready for my last one?
I'm ready.
Yes.
Okay. So some people say that when you apply for certain things, like in our district, you apply for Media Specialist of the Year, or you apply for GLMA's library program, Judy Sarandella's Exceptional and Exemplary Library Media Program Awards, and you apply for Learning Commons certification and stuff like that, that all you're really doing is bragging about yourself.
If you can back it up,
do
brag.
It. Exactly. I'm fine with that. Yes, I have an awesome program. Yes, I have a kick butt program. I'll even go that far. I have worked hard to get it to this level.
That's right.
You have.
And if I'm going to apply for something that says, hey, this is a good program, then I'm going to apply for it to let people know this is a good program. But that's another way that if you're doing something.
You're paving a path for others. That's what they have to see, is that you're paving a path. You're creating this path for others to take with you.
But you know what?
And so I wish people would see it that way.
I will just jump in and say, out of the three of us, I am the one that just wants to sit alone in my library with my kids more than the two of you. And that's bad on
of
me.
Of course, Ingrid, that's our favorite part.
But if I didn't have the two of you, like, dragging me along with you in so many of our adventures and the things that we do, I would sit alone in my media center. Well, I take that back. I wouldn't anymore. But when we started Overdue, I absolutely would have sat quietly in my media center with my babies doing what I do, and I wouldn't have ventured out and I wouldn't have shared. And coming through that path and coming out on the other side of of that journey, I guess. I see the value, and I really just wish other people could see it.
That's why though. But that's why those awards are in place. I mean, yes, we are honoring a school librarian who has went above and beyond and has paved that way. But it's a way to show others that they can do that too.
Exactly.
It's
to give them ideas on their program.
And you know what? Somebody helped us. We all didn't get here organically. We all had the help and support of other people. And
here's the other thing, though.
Sharing and applying for those awards is sharing that knowledge and supporting other library media specialists when they need it.
So
better together.
So I have a little story to tell
you. Better
together. Okay. I have 16% left on my phone. I'm just going to put that out.
Okay. And we're wrapping up. We're at almost an hour now. So, okay. So last Friday I was laying tape down for our booths for the craft fair. I was running around. I had a parent with me. We were doing all kinds of stuff. And in the hallway, I see Mr. Crawford standing about 30, 40 feet away with about five people who had Cobb County, the big name tags on. So when you see those big name tags, you know they're somebody from the district. And he kind of with his eyes was like, yeah, you can come over. And so I go over and I introduce myself. And he always, before when he introduces me to anyone from the district, he always goes, I just need to give you a little warning right now. This is our librarian media specialist. She is a former media specialist of the year. She has won the exemplar.
Just a reminder that everything we say is our own opinions and not the opinions of our school or our district.